You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet, all the way to you.
Welcome on in, people. Here we are.
That's got that island feel.
Two Peas on a Podcast. Episode 57, right?
57. I don't count.
I have no idea what episode this is. I think it's 57.
I'm surprised. Every week you say the number, I'm surprised that you can count that high.
And I...
Eventually we're going to get to a number where I don't know what comes after.
I didn't even write it on the paper today. I think it's 57.
57.
Our listeners will have to correct us if that's wrong.
57.
Exactly. That's actually what I wrote down. That's why I couldn't read that. I don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald as usual.
Two Peas on a Podcast. You know why I played rude? Why I opened with that this week?
You may tell you. Have I been rude to you?
No, you have not.
Okay, good.
You may tell you?
It's a fun story. You're going to tell me anyway, aren't you?
It's a fun story. Okay. So this morning, my son's getting ready for school.
Okay.
And I'm getting him ready and stuff, and we're brushing his teeth and all that. And he just out of nowhere, he goes, "Hey, Dad, play that song, Rude."
What?
And I go, "Okay, I think I know what song you're talking about." So I played this.
You played this song.
I played this tune for
him. That's my jam.
And he's brushing his teeth, and he's seriously just like bouncing.
No, he's not.
He's like dancing.
He is so your son.
And the song ends after a few minutes, and I swear to God, he's 4 years old, by the way. I swear to God, he just looks up and he goes, "Man, I love that song."
Where does he hear this?
I heard on the radio, I guess. I heard on pop radio,
because my 9-year-old and 7-year-old, especially my 9-year-old, she loves pop radio. She loves the local pop station.
Yeah.
She loves all these songs in them.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised she'll sing along to them. But your son.
He tripped me out, man.
That's awesome.
He trips me out.
Play that song, Rude, Dad.
Man, I love that song.
Yeah.
Just so like adult when he said it. But anyway, so that song's been in my head all morning. Yeah. So I was like, why not?
Saturday.
I like that fun, you know?
That background.
It's a fun tune. It's a couple years old now, but it's fun tune. So,
who sings that? Tell me the artist.
Magic is the name of the
Magic
group. Yeah, Magic.
Magic.
Got your little Jack Johnson action going there.
You know, I
a little
like,
bit.
I like,
a little bit.
You know, I'm a fan.
A little bit.
I'm a fan.
A little bit. A little reggae, a little Jack Johnson.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All right, so welcome into episode 57, guys.
57.
Gerald Andy are here with you once again to discuss the topics of the week, brother.
The topics of the week.
We do it every week. People.
What would you do without our...
Hey.
Discernment.
I don't know what the 12 people listening would do without us. They tune in every week.
You think there's still 12 right now? I think it's already down to 10.
It's 12.
I'm not going to do this.
Welcome to 13.
Why am I doing this? Why am I listening to this?
So 2018. So last week we did our Golden Pea Awards. We had that last week, the Golden Peas. Did you talk to any regular listeners? They enjoy that?
I don't talk to anybody. Yeah, except my wife, and she doesn't listen.
That's why you come over here, so you can talk to someone.
Exactly. That's why I'm here. The Golden Peas.
Well, it was exciting. I mean, everybody was, they liked it.
Did the artists who won reach out to you?
No, they didn't. Yeah. But Donald Trump flipped out. He had a great week.
Yeah, man.
And maybe because he won the Golden Pea,
It was mentioned. It was mentioned to us, and this is something I need to reflect on over the year, that we didn't pick any women as our top artists.
Yeah, that was mentioned on social media. Well, we did, but not for the winners.
We talked a lot about
winners in every category.
And of course, I don't want to say I'm going to choose a woman. Like, I'm not going to, because that's an equally biased assumption to say to make myself.
Right.
But you know what? I need to reflect and make sure that I'm allowing women to affect my life more.
No, that's true. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about the Golden Globes in a second. Not the Golden Peas, the Golden Globes. The real deal.
The peas are real.
But we'll talk a little bit about that too, because there was some criticism that all the males that won that night, none of them mentioned the movement, the Me Too, and Time's Up was the new one, which all the women that wore black were Time's Up on the men taking advantage of women.
Do you think the men should have mentioned something? Was it their...
I feel like it's kind of like what you're saying. The problem is that it's not part of their psyche. That's the problem.
Okay.
They shouldn't be forced to do it.
Of course, because if you say it because okay, I'm going to say it because I'm supposed to say it, then you're not actually doing anything.
You know, it shouldn't be scripted I got to say something about women. It should just be front of mind for them.
Yeah, like,
you know?
by the way, I have to acknowledge this because, I mean, it's the elephant in the room.
Right.
And I have to say that, you know what, I am on board with what's going on. I'm going to look at my life.
So,
you know,
we'll get into that a little bit here. Before we do that,
Okay.
Before we do that, got a little bit ahead of ourselves there.
Well, it happens.
Before we do that, how was your week? Anything going on? First full week of 2018.
Yes.
What do you got?
And where I live, in just north of Raleigh, North Carolina, we had a dusting of snow.
Yeah,
we like had a little dusting. Snow. Now around it. Us, we have some people got a couple inches, but a dusting of snow. My two daughters were trying desperately to sled. Asked me to pull them. I'm basically pulling them across the concrete.
Yeah.
Still out of school for 2 days.
Yeah, I know. They closed school because it's cold. Yeah. Did you see
exactly.
that? Exactly. Yeah, they were. My daughter's not
20 degrees.
Not,
shut them down.
My daughter's not local. She's close by. She's a couple hours away in North Carolina as well. Yeah. But she was telling me they had early release the other day because it was cold. I was like, in the afternoon?
Like, this is why people make fun of us.
You had to go to school in the morning, but you got to let out in the
Chicago
afternoon.
And Wisconsin and Vermont.
She's like, yeah, I don't know. Fun of us. She's like, a cold front came through and they let us out of school.
Yes.
I'm like, so,
I mean,
what?
It was pretty though. I mean, it snowed at night and I went outside, turned off the lights and kind of watched the snow. That
dude,
was
you're
cool.
deep, brother. You're the guy that does that, aren't you? You go outside, you turn on the lights, you sit in the snow. Is that you? Did you do that?
Well, it's beautiful. You didn't really do that. It's just a miracle of
you're
nature.
Just out
what are
there.
You talking about?
You're just out there getting snowed on.
Yeah.
Oh, I was sleeping, bro. I didn't give a shit. I had to drive to work today at like
you're
5 o'clock in
the
morning.
You know what? When the sun rises in the morning and those colors hit your window, you're like, you just shut the blinds because you don't want to be bothered.
Rainbows. I don't even see the rainbows.
It's the miracle of nature. Nature is being created right here in front of your very
eyes.
Well,
listen, man. So I've been working all week, so I don't really have
there are no miracles in my life.
I don't really have a lot to report personally. Okay. But what I do want to say at the top of the show here is this is the first official week that the Two Peas family here, brother. Two Peas on a podcast.
Is that me and you?
That's me and you.
Okay.
And all of our Two Pea loyals.
Loyals.
We're going to like this, but we are officially members of the Blazing Caribou's Studios Network.
It's like a reindeer on fire.
Yeah, brother.
A Blazing Caribou. That's cool, man.
It's Varmints is in there. Trivia Geeks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great shows.
So here's the question.
So go to Blazing. Sure. Let me tell everyone. Okay, go to BlazingCaribouStudios.com.
Damn.
Go there, check us out. And within the next few days, you'll see Two Peas on there, brother.
So what are we doing in there?
I don't know. Why did they pick us?
That's the question.
They needed to expand their audience by 12 people.
All 7 listeners now are like, what are y'all doing?
They need to expand their audience by 12 people. So mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Two of them are us, so I don't know. 10 people. So what
cool,
were you going
to
say, though? Blazing Caribou. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Carrie's great over there. She does Trivia Geeks, and she basically runs the network. And I know Paul really well from Varmints. We've talked about them before.
Yeah,
they have a cool show about animals. We're going to actually run their promo a little bit later today.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're excited, man.
That
so,
is cool, man. Thanks. And what's the lady's name again?
Carrie.
Carrie. Thanks, Carrie. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, she's great.
That's really nice of you guys.
She's great.
Let's Blazing, be a part of the network.
Blazing Caribou. All the information will be in the show notes as well. But check out all their shows.
Man.
And we are very, very happy and honored to be a part of that network.
We are. Feels good.
Going forward. 2018, man, is off to a good start.
2018 is the year.
All right, brother, let's get into some topics here.
Okay.
Because we'll try to keep this 60 minutes.
Do we?
Yeah. I think we're out of time already. What time is it? Is that how long we've been going? Okay. Let's see. Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes.
Yeah, Darth Vader here, by the way. He's overseeing us today.
Darth Vader Pez.
It's a little Pez. So, I don't know. He's kind of on our table here.
Is there a reason that I mean, do you want, are you trying to pull me to the dark side?
I just brought it. Yeah, yes. I just want you to see the light, brother.
You are my creepy. I am your creepy brother.
Let's talk about the Golden Globes. They were this past Sunday evening.
Okay.
I got the, I guess you didn't watch it. You don't watch anything.
I don't watch anything.
You don't watch anything.
I don't watch anything.
Well, you watched two shows you told us about last week, but that's basically it. By the way, they won. Well, one of them did.
Okay.
All right. So here's the highlights of winners, the big winners that came out of the night for the Golden Globes. Best movie drama was Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Again, I don't know.
Did you see that?
I didn't see
Three
it.
Three Billboards. I got a good idea for a movie.
I know.
The title's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I was doing a road
trip.
Hey, what's
it about? Well, I just told you.
Yeah, I was doing a road
about
trip.
These
and I passed these three billboards. Yeah. One of them's Bed Bath & Beyond. One of them's McDonald's. And I don't know. But I haven't seen it, but I've heard really good things about it.
Oh, okay. It's probably a good thing.
Best actress also went to Frances McDormand from that film.
Okay.
And many people were excited because she's been in the business for like 50 years.
Okay.
And never won like a prestigious award. She was in Fargo. She's done a lot of stuff.
Okay, good.
So everybody was excited she finally won. Best movie comedy was Lady Bird. We talked
Lady about Lady Bird. Yeah, people are talking about Lady Bird.
About
I need to see Lady Bird.
Let's see. The best actors that came in for drama was Gary Oldman, his portrayal of Winston Churchill. He's amazing.
I just want to say that these awards are hardly ever just for one performance. They try to be for one performance, but oftentimes it's for a lifetime of work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have these expectations about, oh, this guy is going to, or this girl is going to play this role. And then, you know, because Gary Oldman, he has been, I just love Gary Oldman.
I mean,
we're talking back to Bram Stoker's Dracula. I mean, come on.
Just a great career. But he really engulfed himself into the role of Winston Churchill. Have you seen any of the trailers or it doesn't even look, I mean, it looks zero like Gary Oldman.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, if they didn't have his name on the marquee, I'd have no idea that's who it was.
Really?
I would think it was footage of Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
Just transformed himself. But he had this really cool acceptance speech, and at the end, he was thanking his wife. And he said, you know, for 6 months, I was in character. I was Winston Churchill for 6 months. Like, I was researching and breathing.
So even before the movie started, even before shooting started,
yeah.
He was just getting into it.
So he was like, you know, I want to thank my wife for, you know, sticking through me.
Not divorcing
me. Sticking through it with me. You know, I would often joke that she would go to bed with Winston Churchill and wake up with Gary Oldman, which I suppose is better than the other way around. So that was really good.
There you go.
Yeah, but he's great, man. Just a great lifelong actor. Like you said, I love him. Best actor in a comedy went to James Franco from the Disaster Artist. I like him, too. A little controversy there, though.
Okay.
Because he's also kind of gotten tied up a little bit into the Me Too thing because of a couple years ago, some stuff some text messages came out. He was being kind of inappropriate with 18, 19-year-old girls. I don't know. It's one of those things that's kind of like not at the forefront.
How old was he at the time? He's a pretty young guy, right?
I mean, he's young, but I want to say he's at least 30, right?
Okay, like 35, so a couple years ago, but he was is it different?
I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm not saying it's illegal. Okay. I'm just saying a lot of people are like, you know, these were young fans of his, and he was kind of taking advantage of his celebrity.
Okay. So still one of those gray areas. You know,
I don't think it's in the limelight like some of the others, because to my knowledge, it's mostly consensual.
Okay.
It's just not really appropriate.
Has he mentioned that?
He's kind of dodging it.
Okay.
So anyway, but he won the Golden Globe there for The Disaster Artist. Let's see. Aziz Ansari won for television comedy, a show that I love called Master of None on Netflix. And then your boy, Sterling K. Brown, won for drama.
That's my boy?
Actor. Yeah. The black gentleman from This Is Us.
Ah, yes!
Yeah, second year in a row.
He won that. He's just wonderful. All the actors and actresses in This Is Us are just wonderful. He does a great job.
Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale won Best Actress.
Oh, my wife likes that show.
I do too. It's great. It was one of my TV shows of the year last week.
One of your piece.
And Saoirse Ronan. I think I'm saying that right. My wife told me I always pronounce it wrong, but I think it's Saoirse. Ronan from Lady Bird won Best Actress.
Okay.
So there's some of your highlights from the Golden Globes, the winners, if you will.
Yeah.
However, in terms of highlights, did you see Oprah? Well, you were saying you had a little problem with the video.
See, I tried to watch the video, but Oprah, you said you got to watch this Oprah thing.
Oprah won the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award.
Really?
At the Golden Globes.
I am not surprised at all. Think about how long Oprah's been in the business, how many people she's talked to, how many side projects she's done, and she just seems to be one of these people with a huge heart who just... like, what can I give today?
Right.
How can I give more today?
Right.
How can I give more today? I mean,
well,
it's become a cliche like, I want to be an Oprah. You know what I mean? In the business.
She's an icon, brother.
Exactly.
She is a living legend. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Especially in the world of Hollywood. But, you know, I mean, just for The Color Purple alone, which was in the 80s, but I mean, won an Oscar for that. She was amazing in that. But yeah, she won that award and she gave a pretty long speech. I say speech. It was like an acceptance speech.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of talk about the Me Too stuff.
Oh, okay.
There was some talk about Trump's America.
Really?
Inadvertently, but I mean, you know, about the climate today politically. And
yes.
Anyway, there was a lot of stuff in her speech.
Yeah.
Everything from, like I said, political stuff to Hollywood stuff. I mean, it was all over the place. But a lot of people.
She's really in that, because think of all the people she interviews, all the people she talks to. Right. She's really connected into so many different worlds. And so, I mean, yeah.
But a lot of people speculated, of course, and it kind of renewed the speculation into her possible run for presidency.
Yeah.
How you feel about that? We were talking a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Now, hold on.
Okay.
I want you to go second because I know what you're going to say.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
No, you already said it.
I could change my mind in the last 10 minutes.
Well, that's true. But but what I want to ask you before just so that you guys don't know, we've reported on this a couple times over the last year, that there's been rumors, if you will.
Insinuations. Is that a great word?
Innuendos, yeah. Innuendos and rumors, if you will, that Oprah Winfrey is considering a 2020 presidential run.
Okay.
For the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we talked about the possibility of that. We talked about The Rock was another one.
Yeah.
I feel like there was even
The Rock,
third one.
Though, I haven't taken really seriously.
No.
For some reason, every time I hear this come about Oprah, I take it a little more
seriously.
Well,
let me ask you something real quick then.
Okay.
And let's use this.
I don't think The Rock's
going to run. Use this as the basis of our conversation. Yeah. So, I love Oprah. You love Oprah. We both just said she's an icon, a living legend. We both agree with that. Millions of people believe that. Obviously, extremely charismatic. This has nothing to do with my personal affinity for her. I love her. If she were running in today's climate, would I vote for her? fucking yes. Of course. Like, if my options are Trump and Oprah, like, I'm the night before, I'm standing at the ballot
box. If your teenage daughter ran for president exactly. in this atmosphere, yeah, would exactly. you vote for?
If this fucking Darth Vader Pez ran, I'd vote for it.
Darth Vader Pez!
Change we need, brother. pop one, get a candy in your face hole there. So listen, so back to what we're talking about.
Okay.
So what I want to ask you, though, she's a celebrity. Yeah. She's not. She doesn't have any political experience. Hold on.
Okay.
Is this the answer, brother? Is this... Now, her stances would obviously be more friendly to what I believe. More liberal, more probably. Democratic, probably.
Yeah.
In other words, are the Republicans going to have the same issues that we're having right now on the left? Because this is not a political... It's not someone with political experience.
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, in America, are we turning into kind of like who's the most popular, who's the most charismatic,
yeah.
who says the things that we haven't heard before,
yeah.
or is this a job description? You know, the president needs to know how to do X, Y, and Z. Because no matter how much I love Oprah, she doesn't know how to do that shit.
Yeah,
I mean, how can she? She's never been in that world.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, there is no right or wrong, and I don't think there is a solution. The fact of the matter is that in our current climate, in our current atmosphere, popularity and celebrity means a lot. How? Because it's what we give our lives to. It's what we focus on. It's our Facebook and Twitter accounts. It's what our TV is tuned to, what our Netflix and what our Hulu shows us. So will celebrities continue to win offices? I think absolutely they will. I mean, there's no solution to that. Now, as you have said, like our current president, Oprah is not a politician. She's never been one. Now, one of the reasons I believe Trump did so well is that a lot of America didn't want a politician. They wanted the anti-politician. They wanted, because, you know, we're kind of fed up with what politicians do. A lot of the reasons I am not a fan of Donald Trump has nothing to do with the fact that he was never a politician. Yes, I was leaning toward Hillary because she had more experience. But I mean, Trump, the train wreck that is Donald Trump goes far beyond just his lack of political experience. Right. This is why... And of course, I'd need to listen to Oprah. I'd need to hear what she had to say. I'd need to honestly pay attention to her platform. However, this is what makes me interested and almost a bit excited in the current climate, knowing that we love celebrities. Oprah's a celebrity because, not just because she was on this TV show, not just because people like her, not just because she, you know, has been in the limelight for so long. She has ingrained herself into our culture by being a conversationalist. She listens to people. That's her job for the last, I don't know, what do you think, 20, 30 years? How long?
Yeah, I mean, at least 20.
Her job is to listen and to pay attention to people. Right. And that, more than anything, is one of the hallmarks of good leadership.
Well, it would
the
be,
ability to listen and to pay
it
attention.
It would definitely be extremely interesting.
Yes.
Especially if you're running against Trump, if he manages to not get impeached in the next 3 years. Because they're friends. I mean, I don't know if you know.
Really?
He went on her show several times during her run with the Oprah show. He's been in O Magazine, you know, and they've been known to be friendly. I don't know if I'd say friends, like going to dinner parties together and shit. But they've been friendly. And there was even an interview on CNN that surfaced from like 10 years ago or something like that. And it was a hypothetical interview. God wish it had remained that. But the interviewer was asking Trump about a future presidency and who his running mate would be. And he said Oprah.
Really?
He said his first choice would be Oprah.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, they've been friendly over the years and stuff like that. So it would be interesting to see, because Hillary and him were too. And we all know how ugly that turned out. Like I said, if it was Trump versus Oprah, it's no fucking question who I would vote for, brother.
Yeah.
No question. I'm just saying, in the primaries, for example, if it's Oprah... And then you have 10, 12 seasoned Bernie Sanders type people.
Yeah.
Then what am I doing? You know, I just don't know. Basically, I want Trump out of there.
Yeah.
There's no mystery to that. And if he doesn't work himself out of there in one way or another before 2020, then I hope somebody can dethrone him. I don't know, man. I love Oprah. I just don't know if we should stop now in terms of, okay, we don't need any more celebrity reality talk show hosts. Like, we don't need that to be running our country.
Yeah.
Now, I think Oprah would do a much better job because of the empathy she possesses.
Yeah.
She seems to care.
And,
right?
You ever seen Super Soul Sunday or whatever she does?
Uh-uh.
She also seems to be very, where she interviews spiritual leaders like Deepak Chopra.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
With Dr. Beckwith. She seems to also be very aware spiritually. And, like, I just want to make sure that what I'm saying is that her celebrity is different from The Rock's celebrity.
Right.
The Rock is a celebrity. I don't think he'd make a good president. I mean, he's fun, but Oprah actually seems to possess some qualities for for good leadership.
And they're political
leadership? I don't know, but good leadership.
And ironically, they're all the intangible stuff that we say Trump doesn't have.
Exactly.
You know, like the empathy, the compassion, the tact.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't have tact, to, even on Twitter. You know,
but what if Oprah decided to run for president and she paired herself with the vice president running mate, who was a seasoned politician?
Much better.
He's like, well, you know what? I have a vision for this country and I'm going to learn from this person here who knows our political system.
Right.
And as a team, we're going to try to help it work. I mean, who knows?
Right.
But it's interesting.
So
it's interesting.
I didn't go back and listen because I honestly don't remember what episodes it was in the last year. But I remember the last time we talked about this, it was kind of like, oh,
uh-huh. Exactly.
Know, no shot. And now we're kind of like, please, will you?
Exactly.
Please, God. I'll start waiting right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, look out for Oprah 2020. Who knows? By the way, Stedman, her, I guess, longtime partner, I don't think they're married, made a quote to the LA Times, which is what blew this up.
Oh, really?
Because
I didn't read this quote.
They asked about her speech at the Golden Globes and whether that was, quote, presidential or if that was just a coincidence.
Yeah.
And he said, look, if the people want it, she will run. So, I don't know. People probably want us. All right, so
that's interesting.
Only a couple more here on our entertainment bookend, brother. Before we get into our one deep topic, right. Hoda Kotb.
What? Excuse me.
bless you. Hoda Kotb was named the co-anchor of the Today Show in place of Matt Lauer. We all know
that's
what happened.
That's right. Yes. Very quickly it happened. Like all of a sudden, one day you wake up and like, oh,
yeah.
Another television icon is.
We all know what happened to Matt Lauer. Yeah. There he's. Can't keep his dinghy in his pants there, brother, but he got in trouble. So Hoda Kotb slide in.
Okay.
And what's interesting about this is now both lead anchors in NBC on the Today Show are female.
Yes.
You have Savannah Guthrie and you got Hoda Kotb.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. So I think that speaks a little bit to the culture shift that we've been talking about over the last couple of years. Yeah. I think it's a great thing. Did you ever watch Kathy Lee and Hoda do their thing?
I've seen them a couple times.
They're fun. Kathy Lee's just drunk at like 10 in the morning though. Spilling wine all over the place. You
know what I mean? Well, she's Kathy Lee.
And Hoda's trying to like be the anchor.
And of course, I mean, I think one day we'll get to the point where female, male, it won't even matter. Like you'll look up there and if there's two males, two females, three males and a female, and it doesn't really matter.
Black, white, whatever.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, the fact that more powerful women are coming into prominence is nothing but a good thing.
You know? Well, okay, listen, dude. I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but I wanted to announce this to all of our listeners. Game of Thrones as the return for the final six episodes, which is really like a second part of the final season.
When did the first part of the final season come on?
Like,
it's already been on.
Like the summer of 2017.
Oh, so you haven't had any Game of Thrones for like six months.
No, so here's the shocker.
Okay.
So it's not returning until 2019.
What?
And they didn't even give a month, brother. Just a year to 2019.
So they're taking a year and a half
off. HBO takes forever, brother. These are epic productions, though, I will say.
Yeah.
But it's been announced that it will not return this year. It won't be until 2019.
Are you okay with that?
No, I'm not fucking okay with that. It's like you're going to be like 2 years between seasons.
Not even.
They're only doing six episodes.
Returning later, but the final half of the final season.
I feel like me and you could fucking film that six hours in a year. I mean, give us a year. We could put something out, don't you think? I mean, we're not HBO, but...
We're not.
HBO is also currently developing 5 Game of Thrones prequel series.
5?
They're going to be 5 spinoff series.
5?
In the near future.
Do you think they'll develop
Seems
5 and maybe not run with all of them?
I don't know if all
of them
will get picked up, maybe, is what you're saying.
That's a lot of prequels.
Game of Thrones people are going, it's like Star Wars, man. Yeah. They just fucking eat that shit up.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a whole fan base of just anything they can do.
Well, you think about it. I mean, what Game of Thrones is, it has everything that our sensual desires want.
You got to get on
it. It has sex. It has violence.
It does.
It has mythic dragons and creatures, cold, stark climates, big castles. Everything that our humanity desires.
I'm on record by saying this before. There's nothing like Khaleesi riding a dragon. Just tell you that. Television gets no better.
I don't know.
Brother.
There was something.
Television gets no better.
There's something slightly honorable in that creepy state.
It's empowering, brother.
Yeah.
She's on that dragon just flying around. All right, listen. Last thing, and then we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
I'm excited about this, buddy.
Okay.
I didn't know about it, honestly, until I sent you that clip last week. Mm-hmm. David Letterman's returning to television.
Isn't that crazy?
So obviously.
Bearded.
Bearded Letterman, David absolutely. Letterman, so we're talking about icons. Obviously, he's an icon, especially in late night television.
Love David Letterman.
So he's got a 6-episode Netflix series that's going to be coming out this Friday, January 12th. The name of the series is Needs No Introduction.
Oh, so he's interviewing people that he believes need no introduction.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So the show will launch this Friday, January 12th.
Interesting.
And a new episode will stream each subsequent month. So it's basically going to be going on for the next 6 months, one per month.
One per month.
Yep. And here are some of the guests that he has lined up. His first guest is going to be former President Barack Obama.
Wonderful.
That's going to be amazing.
Letterman and Barack.
That's going to be amazing. And I saw a little bit. Did you see a little bit about the format for it? Did you watch the trailer?
I saw the trailer. I didn't see anything about the format.
So it's not a Letterman show where he's sitting at a desk interviewing him.
No.
This is basically like he goes to their house or they go somewhere that, you know, Obama, like a museum. Oh,
so it's not like a live studio audience.
Right.
It's like him.
He like travels to wherever they are.
Really?
And discusses things that they love and, you know, about their life.
So taking his interviewing, hosting skills to a different, more intimate level.
On location, and the guests are the ones that lead that. So, you know, like, I don't know, let's just say Obama loved museums. You know, they would go to a museum and they would talk about the art that he loved or whatever. I'm just using that as an example. Here's some of the other ones that he's going to have coming up. George Clooney.
Love Clooney. George Clooney.
Love Clooney, brother. Howard Stern.
Okay.
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Rapper Jay-Z.
Okay.
That's some of the first guests
he's got. He's got some big names.
Some of the first guests he's got lined up. Hey, they don't need it. So anyway, Needs No Introduction will be on Netflix starting this Friday, January 12th. If you're a David Letterman fan, which I am, used to love him back in the day.
I think maybe he's my favorite late night host
he's up there,
of all time.
He's up there.
You know?
I love him. He's up there.
Love Fallon. Fallon's one of my new favorites.
I missed Carson. Like, Carson was before my time.
Yeah, Carson's way
before my time. I understand his impact or whatever, but for me...
As defining what the late night show was.
Him and Ed Sullivan. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, as far as for me growing up, when I really was impressionable was David Letterman and then Conan. Like, I love Conan back in the day, the late night show.
Yes.
The one after Letterman, actually. Actually Letterman and him back to back for a while. And then, you know, now I love Fallon. I never got into Jay Leno. I wasn't a big fan of him or his chin. I just never got into him. That was mean, right? All right, listen.
Okay.
We're going to take a couple promos. I got a couple shows I want to pump up this week. Andy, this is the first of those two. So let's do a quick promo for Via VHS.
Via VHS.
My buddy Wes, who talks about 80s, 90s, old shows that I guess you, or old movies, I'm sorry, that you could watch on VHS.
Check this out.
We'll run those promo. We'll come back. We'll get into our one deep topic.
And then I got to tell you something important.
Hopefully a lot of things.
That's cool.
All right. Wow. You really got me on fire. I got to hurry up and get through this now. You got me wondering. The suspense is killing me.
Be excited.
All right. We'll be right back.
The Via VHS podcast is changing lives. Here's some testimonials. Bill from Tallahassee, Florida says, I was able to quit my job and get a Ferrari, just like Magnum PI. Sue from San Diego, California says, wow, it really helped with my crippling depression. Thanks, Via VHS. And Tom from Charlotte, North Carolina says, it cured my genital warts. Wow. Listen to the Via VHS podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast.
Someone call the zookeeper. We let the cougar out.
Cougar's out, brother. She had a dream. Oh, that's good, right? Southern rock, brother.
Cougar, man.
Paper and Fire. I chose that to have a little play on words because our deep topic this
week.
One deep topic is on paper.
But it's on fire.
And it's called Fire and Fury.
Yes.
And it is on fire. It's blowing up.
Yes.
So our one deep topic this week is the Trump Fire and Fury fiasco.
Wow, that's a lot of
Fs. The new book by author Michael Wolff. You see anything about this? You had to.
Yes.
I mean, it's like fucking everywhere. Right?
I watched the interview, read some of the top stories from the book. The interview was very telling.
You talking about the one he did with the Today Show?
Yes, exactly.
So okay, I want you to tell me a little bit. Yeah. I was telling Andy that due to my work schedule, I've really been cramming, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get to watch a lot of the news on a daily basis. So, like, last night and this morning, I feel like I read the whole book because I'm just like going through all these news stories.
And it just came out, I think it came out Friday?
Came out Friday. Okay. So, a couple things I want to mention about it. Yeah. And then we can get into the reactions, which is part of what you're talking about. So, it's sold out in minutes.
Bookstores are running. Yeah, they're run out. Yeah, exactly.
Lines are out the door. This hasn't happened since Where's God by Andy Ross. it's the biggest release.
That's right. Woo!
Biggest release of the last
year. So, he sold four copies too?
One in each bookstore.
Okay.
The release was bumped up 4 days earlier because Trump's lawyer sent a cease and desist letter to the publisher. You heard about that?
Yes. Unprecedented for a president to ask that a book about him or, well, I was going to say her, but not her yet.
Yeah.
And be banned. I mean, banning free speech, basically.
And I had down here that it was unprecedented. And the last time that a president tried to stop publication of a journalistic work was the Pentagon Papers by Nixon. And he ended up resigning on the verge of impeachment.
Interesting.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
So, in other words,
I mean, are you
let
surprised?
Me ask you.
Of course Trump doesn't want it out.
Well, that's
there.
What I'm going to ask you.
You can't say anything
that's
about
what
Donald
I
Trump
ask
him
you.
Tweeting about it.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you, because Huckabee Sanders and all of his peeps that are talking about it, and him, obviously, it's a work of fantasy. It's complete fiction. And my thing is,
fake news in a book.
You know how when somebody will call you out for something, and if you get, the more upset you are about it, the more likely it's true.
There's a,
right?
A,
is that a thing, right?
There's a Shakespearean quote from this. Methinks he doth protest too much.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So basically, if I say something about you, like, Gerald, you're being a little creepy. You're like, dude, I'm not being creepy. That's a complete, I'm not, what is
exactly.
this crazy?
And if you,
me being creepy? That's ridiculous.
And if you, exactly. Yeah. And it's like the more defensive you get.
Because it bothers you. Why does it bother you? Because there's something that echoes within yourself that you are afraid to let out. So, I mean, the fact that they jumped on this right away, you know what I mean? Yeah, it says a lot. It says a lot.
Let's see. I'm going to pull up his Twitter feed because, dude, we think he's bad on Twitter. He had when this book came out, he had a fucking red letter week, brother.
Even for him?
So anyway, let's talk a little bit about what you, because you saw the interview. Yes. I didn't. I saw a couple clips, but Wolf appeared, the author, appeared on the Today Show.
Yes.
And he defended his journalistic integrity. He said he even went as far as say that he has recordings and notes from the interviews.
Like any good, he basically said, like any good journalist, I have notes, I have recordings. He said he was granted access to the White House pretty openly, surprisingly. And when she asked, well, how did this happen? He goes, well, you know, I'm a nice guy. Apparently, he talked to a lot of people. He gave a kind of an illusion that in all, he talked to Trump for a total of about 3 hours. Not a 3-hour interview.
Right,
they actually asked him, was Trump aware that you were writing this book? He goes, I don't know if he was aware that he was being interviewed for that. But apparently, this journalist talked to a lot of people within the White House. I don't know how far back it went. I think it went back, and I think he's been with them or been like researching this for a while now. So he is saying, the author is claiming that as a journalist, what I am, you know, this story that I've written is accurate based on my perception of interviews and conversations within the White House, not just with Trump, but people close to him.
All right, well, this is interesting to go ahead and mention this now then, and I will let my son assist us today.
This week in Trump Tweets. Tweet.
So let's get it going this week in Trump Tweets. Wow, brother. That's some fire and fury
and
going out of the toilet.
That's how
there.
It always feels when you pull up this Twitter feed. Okay.
All right.
Let me know what's going on, Jerry.
Based on what you just said, here's Trump's tweet from 5 days ago after the announcement that the book was going to be officially released. I authorized zero access to the White House. I actually turned him down many times for the author of this phony book. I never spoke to him for his book. It's full of lies, misrepresentations, and sources that don't exist. Look at this guy's past and watch what happens to him and Sloppy Steve. So Sloppy Steve, by the way, is a nickname that's emerged since because he's a Steve Bannon's a source in this book.
One of the sources that are actually
a main source.
That's, because a lot of the people in the book apparently he doesn't name names. He does say a lot.
Right, the majority
of people surrounding Trump, the majority of the administration. But I think Steve Bannon's actually quoted in the book.
Exactly.
Like saying things to the point of so-and-so committed treason.
Yeah.
Talking about Kushner. Yeah.
Was one more that I was going to read here that he kind of laid into.
How did you find that? The big question, of course, is do you think Trump's read any of the book?
I'm sure he has.
You think he
I
has?
Mean, don't you think?
You think he's too narcissistic not to have to?
Yeah.
I gotta know.
I mean, I'm sure he has.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, do you think, while I'm looking for this other one, do you think, I mean, is somebody going to put out a complete book of fiction when they're getting cease and desist letter without some kind of, I mean, I don't know this guy. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't
Apparently,
know.
Apparently wrote for Vanity Fair for a long time, so he's been a journalist for a while. Now, I don't know, as far as, there is what's called a slander. Like, you can't write false things about people in a negative light that are just have no facts to them. Now, you can write whatever you want, and there is a freedom of speech. There is a freedom of the press, freedom of speech here. However, you can't write slander.
Right.
So I can't come up with a story saying that Gerald did this to this person and that would put a bad reputation and cause
you
harm.
If you have proof, though, you can.
So that's different. Now, of course, this book comes from a perspective. Of course, this book comes from this journalist's opinion about what he saw in the White House.
Right.
Do I believe he was actually in the White House? Yes, I do believe he was in the White House. I do believe he had conversations with people. Did Trump know he was being interviewed for the book? Probably not.
No.
A lot of people, I mean, and is that deception? That's a
fine
line.
Trump's saying that he never met the guy. That's a different element. I mean,
I don't think that's true.
Right? I mean, I feel like that's something.
Because you couldn't just say, like, I was in the White House, I talked to Trump, if it never happened. There's got to be.
Exactly.
Think about records in this place. There has to be a record.
That's what I'm saying. There has to be somebody
this time, this day, this person met.
I mean, you don't just walk into the White House and start talking to the president.
Trump, come here and talk to me for a minute.
You know, you got to. I mean, unless you catch him. Unless you catch him in the bathroom or something, which happens quite a bit. Yeah. He's in there pooping, tweeting, you know? Yes. Find him.
So, I mean, this book definitely comes from a perspective. The reason is so popular is because it feeds an opinion we already have. And here's the thing that I really want to get into with this with you is everything so far that has come out in this book, specifics are things like this.
Well, I got a bunch of specifics here.
Why don't you go ahead and
give all right, let me read this last
tweet. Then we'll react.
Since we're on This Week in Trump tweets.
Okay.
Before I read it, I just want to say, regardless if you're a Trump supporter or if you believe Wolf or both or whatever, why are you responding like this? And again, we talked the more defensive you get. Wolf's the author.
Okay, I'm terrible with names.
So if you.
Wolf's the author.
In other words, the more defensive you are, the more likely there's something going on.
You think you just protest too much?
So listen to this, dude. This is our president, brother. Okay.
Do you have to remind yourself every time?
Quote, Michael Wolff is a total loser who made up stories in order to sell this really boring and untruthful book. He used Sloppy Steve, who cried when he got fired and begged for his job. Now Sloppy Steve has been dumped like a dog by almost everyone. Literally just hurling insults. And by the way, he's on camera 50 times throughout the campaign and his presidency talking about how much he loves Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon says one negative thing about him in this book, about his mental capacity or whatever, and now he's Sloppy Steve and he hates him.
Well, you got to understand the emotional, and of course, this is one of the things the book gets into. You got to understand the emotional climate of the White House and the emotional stance of Donald Trump. I mean, what he believes at the time and how he feels, the emotional, you know, crux of his feelings is true to him at the time. So, I mean, he has no filter.
So I got
because, you know, we have given him the right over years and years and years of publicity and money and power to say and think and feel whatever he wants at any given time.
Right.
The guy has no filter.
And I got so you were talking about the takeaways from the book.
Yes.
So I got from Politico the biggest quote bombshells from the book. They did like a top 10 or whatever.
Okay.
This is a few of them. First of all, nobody was shy about talking to Wolf.
And that's, honestly,
everybody just kind of opened
up
to him.
It's not that I don't believe it. That's the thing that surprises me the most, that people even right in Trump's whatever circle were still willing to say some of these things you're about to say.
Right.
I mean, they were just willing to talk to this guy.
Trump exhibited symptoms of a deteriorating mental health. Now, we joke about that based on his Twitter, but I mean, that doesn't sound that off to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's a little... Now, when they say mental health for us, I feel like I'm speaking for you too. I feel like it's more just he's a narcissist and his ego.
Here's the thing. I think he's an egotistical narcissist who is responding to the pressure of the job.
Yeah.
Like, I think the pressure of being president is really working on his ego. Because what does the ego say? I'm important. I am this. I am that.
Right.
I am that.
Right.
But when you have a job that's so impossible to do, quote, well, you know, you have to continue. Anybody who says anything against you is hurting your ego. So you have to push off against that. So I think his deteriorating mental state has a lot to do with the fact that this pressure is wearing away at his fragile ego.
Yeah, I think that's what I think as well. I agree with you. Ivanka, this is a funny one, but this is another crazy takeaway. Ivanka often describes the secret to Trump's hair. Anyway, is there a fucking secret?
You can read the secret. I've read the secret.
Oh, what is the secret?
Yeah, it's something. It's weird. It's like she says. It's like something like. It starts with nothing.
Okay.
And then they put this stuff on. Then they comb this over.
Okay.
And then there's hardening spray.
Hardening spray. Eh?
Yeah, there's specifics.
Oh, I didn't know those specifics.
There's specifics.
Trump.
Like she also says like scalp reducing surgery.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
So, it's very specific.
Trump once believed that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, could make the Russia problem go away.
Yeah.
And by the way, Steve Bannon actually is the one that's quoted as accusing Kushner of treason.
Yeah, I think somebody, it came out that somebody said to Trump, like, this is going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
You need to look into, like, the legal ramifications. And he said at the time, no, Kushner's got this.
Yeah, exactly. Another one, only women really know how to handle Trump.
Because only women can stroke his ego.
He responds better to women's guidance than like Bannon and, you know, all the other dudes.
You think it's because he respects women more or because he likes women?
Do I think it's because he respects them more? No. I think it's because he has more of an affinity to please them than to please, you know, he looks for their approval more.
That's a very psychologically profound statement.
All right, let's see. Trump had, there's another funny one. Trump had several unusual bedroom fixations, including a cheeseburger consumption late at night in the bed.
They also say that. And of course, I mean, this is a lot of this. I haven't read the book yet, so a lot of this could be just speculation. And who knows where this came from. It says that he's very, very paranoid. Mm. And one of the reasons he likes McDonald's so much is because he can go through the drive-thru and it's pre-made. So no one could make it for him and like poison him.
Wow. Deep, brother.
Yeah. But I guess honestly, when you're that much in power and you think you're that much...
You think he's getting a Happy Meal?
Important? You never know.
You think he's getting a Happy Meal?
Just for the toy.
Getting a little toy.
Just for the toy.
Let's see. Donald promised Melania he wouldn't win the presidency and really did not want to.
Now that, we've been talking about that for a long time. I actually believe.
I believe that.
They say that people around him noticed that when he did one, he went like white as a ghost.
Yeah.
And you could, I mean, I just thought he was drunk.
Yeah.
Which is good. He's been partying on it. That's fine. But I mean, do you, like, yeah, I didn't think he wanted to win. You know, I thought for him it was just for the ride. Honestly, it's not about wanting or not wanting. I think he didn't really think it could happen,
right,
and therefore didn't prepare for it.
Right.
But to find out that he might have told his wife, dude, this is not going to happen. Don't worry about it. And that they say that she cried the night. It could have been tears of joy that they interpreted as sorrow. But
I think she just knew that she had to buckle up, brother, because they were in for a ride.
Just think about how grueling the campaign was, how much, because it's just hard to be married into that. Even if you're, I don't want to say normal, no one's normal, but even if the president's quote normal, it'd still be hard to be the president's wife or husband.
Right.
You know?
And the last thing I put on here from that Politico article, everybody in the White House, staffers and him and everybody around him, everybody cruelly insults each other.
Yeah.
Always calling each other names and just not being very nice to each other. Not a teamwork atmosphere. So anyway, Michael Wolff had, you know, access to the White House. He had these sources. One of them is Steve Bannon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we are to believe him. One of them was Steve Bannon, who was very, very close to Trump for a long time. He interviewed Trump for what he said was roughly 3 hours over the course of a few months, time or whatever. You know, we said how Trump's basically, and Huckabee Sanders are basically, nope, it's fiction. He never came to the White House. I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that one random guy, like you said, would slander the president
to this degree and specificity.
Right, right.
And then I think I want to say that one of his chief strategists, Donald Trump's chief strategist, was on.
You're talking about
Trapper,
the big ears penis guy. What's his name? Yeah, he was with Jake Tapper. It was Stephen Miller.
I keep saying Trapper. I'm sorry, Jake Tapper.
Trapper John MD.
I think Tapper was trying to ask him about some of the allegations in the book.
Yeah.
And that, as usual, they wouldn't answer anything. All he wanted to talk about was what Trump was doing. Like, he's doing this good. He's doing this good. He's doing this good. And Tapper's like, dude, you're not answering the question.
Yeah. He ended the interview. He said, I've wasted enough of my viewers' time. So thanks for being here.
It's rough. That's the thing. You can't.
Kellyanne Conway.
The only answers you get from the administration are either harsh words from Trump saying fool, you know, idiot, not true, and general ignoring.
Yeah.
That's it. They just ignore. So no one actually addresses, well, let's talk about some of the things he says. He says this, well, actually this. He says this, well, actually this. They're not really giving us any reason. Here's the main thing I think I believe a lot of what this journalist is saying, or at least through his perspective, I could see how a part of that could be true. Because of what we've been given by the administration and Donald Trump via his Twitter feed over the last year.
Right.
Like, he's given us no reason to not think he acts like a child. What the author says is that he's talked to a lot of people around. He said the most common theme in their answers or their descriptions of Donald Trump is that he acts like a child. How many times have you and I said that? How many times have the American public said that? You know what? He's an emotional child. He constantly needs approval. people. Yeah, he constantly needs attention, and he reacts. He doesn't think before he reacts, and you know he's getting in like pissing contests with North Korea.
Right? No, he's doing that to himself.
Exactly.
I mean, he didn't need anybody to write this book.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to say.
That's a good point.
When all this stuff came out of this book, I'm reading, I'm going, wow, me and Andy have pretty much said all that shit.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, so it's not like, in other words, it's not like you read it and go, like it's a bombshell. Like, oh my God, you know, like, you're just reading it going, yeah, that sounds about right.
Exactly.
I mean, right? You know, so it's like he's kind of already kind of set that tone.
And not just because of what's been said about him in the quote fake news, but what he has said. Oh, like, you can't claim to be something you're not when your actions and even your words say something else.
Yeah, no, I feel you. All right, man. So that's it. So Fire and Fury.
Fire and Fury.
It's sold out. I have not checked Amazon. Should I check? I'll check real quick. You may check? Let me check Amazon.
Yes.
I want to see if it's, because it's sold out in bookstores, yeah. Brother. And I wonder if you can get it on Amazon. Let me, I'm going to give all the 2P loyals a real life look here. You can get it on Kindle for $14.99, but it is also, dude, you know it's banging when Amazon sold out. Amazon does not have the physical copy. You can get it on Kindle.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm swearing to God, it sold out.
They sold out on Amazon.
Yes,
but I think the thing is, like you said, the reason it's selling so much is we already know these things. We're just looking for more confirmations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is all the stuff we already believe. We just...
Yeah,
the
book could have been called No Shit, you know?
Like, what we want to do is,
I know,
we're at Oz. We want to look behind the curtain. We want to know. Yeah, yeah. We want to know that everything we already think about this guy is true.
I'm just going
to
tell you.
Confirmation.
I'm just going to tell you. I don't know, brother. I mean, we talk about impeachment and resigning and all that. I don't know if that's going to happen. We got 3 years left now until the next election, or a little less than 3 years. But he's not what we need, brother. And I'm not saying that because I'm Democrat. I'm just saying that because of all this shit that
we just
talked about.
Here's the thing. You can't impeach someone for being emotionally childish.
No.
You can't impeach for being a egotistical jerk.
No, but there's a lot of things that
So what they're looking for, they're looking for technicalities, which,
you know,
surrounded by a well-paid...
Obstruction of justice.
Surrounded by a well-paid legal team, those things are going to be difficult.
Yeah, obstruction of justice, sexual misconduct, the Russia collusion. I mean, those are things that let's figure it out. But... I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just saying I could see it happening. All right, so listen, we're going to do one more promo for today for the audio program Varmints. They are part of our network over there at Blazing Caribou, and they are a great show. Paul and Donna run it, and they talk about a different animal every week.
Yeah.
They give you the backstory. They talk about how the animal shows up in movies and pop culture. And
I love that.
It's great. Also want to tell everyone before that we run their promo real quick to not forget about our Patreon.
Patreon.
Want to give a quick shout out to a gentleman named Caleb.
Caleb?
Who is our newest patron. He pledged this week, and he's going to be giving us a monthly donation to run the show.
Caleb, Caleb's, I think you need to take a long look at your life and see where your priorities are.
Are you sure?
You want to give us? But no, honestly, though, in all seriousness, Caleb, thank you. That's really wonderful that you're listening to the show.
He's a great
and
dude.
That you want to pledge. I mean, that's just wonderful.
Great thank dude.
We
love
appreciate
him.
That.
Love him. So let's do the thank you to Caleb and all of our other patrons, all of our 2P loyals. Let's do our Varmints promo, Andy, then we'll come back and wrap up with our pop culture stuff. Stick around.
And then I need to tell you that thing I was going to tell you.
Do I need to remind you seriously?
I'm just going to tell you when we get
off
back.
Air or when we get back?
When we get back.
You want to tell the world?
I want to tell the world.
All right. The 12 people in the world. All right. Stand by.
Hey, my name's Paul and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints!
Welcome back in, guys. 2P's on a podcast, episode 50.
57.
We're still on 57, right? Or is this a different one? We're still on 57.
Right, how long have I been talking to you?
Thank you to Varmints there, and also thank you to Via VHS earlier.
Okay, you just
being
said
our promo stand.
You just said VHS. Here's what I wanted to tell you. It's so
that reminded you.
So interesting. So my daughter's reading Harry Potter now, the first one,
yep.
And so she was reading it aloud last night,
yep.
And she comes to a part in the first chapter where Dudley, the little boy, gets a VCR for his birthday, and my daughter Libby, my 9-year-old, looks up to me and goes, "What's a VCR?"
Oh, shit.
That's an age moment.
We're old, brother.
So I had to explain to her what a VCR was.
Was she like, "That's fucking stupid"? Why? Why'd they do that?
When you were little, why didn't you just go to Netflix? You had to rewind it? That's crazy.
They didn't have Blu-ray?
I know I built it up, but I just thought it was an interesting moment.
That's
to
good.
I actually had to explain to my daughter what a VCR was.
That happened to me too. Okay. It was about payphones.
Payphones?
My daughter's like, "What's the payphone?" And I'm like, "What's a payphone?"
That's a payphone.
It was when that Maroon 5 song came out.
Yeah. I'm at a payphone.
He's like, "What's a payphone?" I'm like, "What's a payphone? What are you, a fucking idiot?"
Did you say that to your daughter?
That's how I raised my children.
No wonder she's so messed up.
That's how I raised my children. She knows what a payphone is now, though. I'll tell you that. She'll never forget. All right, let's get into some stuff. So we're talking about 45 over there, Trump.
Okay.
Did you see he's doing the corrupt fake news awards?
I did see that.
He's announcing the winner today.
Yes.
Shit. We don't have, I guess we'll talk about it on next week's show.
Oh, my goodness.
But today, he's supposedly going to be announcing his, quote, losers.
Yes.
In different categories for the corrupt news awards.
Yes.
Stephen Colbert, Samantha Bee, Trevor Noah, and many others have lobbied to be considered.
I know, because there's like Colbert said, there's nothing better than being considered fake news by Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it
legitimizes you.
It legitimizes you. Basically, I joked around because I feel the same way. I joked around with you and some other people that if Trump boxes on Twitter, it'd be the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, okay, we're getting to him.
But Colbert came out with a billboard in Times Square.
He did. He took out a billboard in Times Square, brother.
Times Square.
To be...
to lobby for, like, I want to win. These are the things I want to win.
To be considered. Yeah. So, if Trump pulls through with it, then we'll report on the, quote, winners of it next week.
Well, but how can we not?
That's supposed to be announced today?
Yes. And the ratings of those winners will skyrocket immediately.
But his base just eats that up, though.
Yeah.
They just love it.
Yeah.
They think because he's saying it, they think it's all fake.
Well, I want to tell you something, Gerald. A lot of people eat a lot of things up.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
Hey, speaking of which, Betty White eats a lot of hot dogs. We're going to talk about that next.
What?
Hey, nice segue.
You're kidding me.
Nice segue.
That was perfect.
Did you see?
You didn't even plan that. That's chemistry, folks. Caleb, if you're listening.
Yeah, he knows.
That's chemistry, buddy.
Caleb knows. Did you see?
No, I didn't.
You like Betty White? You're a fan of her, right? She's amazing.
Who doesn't like Betty White?
97 years old.
Who doesn't like Betty White?
97, right?
I'd like to meet the individual who doesn't like Betty White.
97. She's only a couple years younger than me. But she's a 6-time Emmy winner, and she was being interviewed by Parade magazine. Parade magazine asked her about her living happily and healthy for
because
so long.
Because not only is she 97 years old, like, she's still sprightly.
Yeah.
You know?
So she said,
like,
quote,
eternal.
And you're going to love this, by the way. This is Andy to the core here. She says, quote, accentuate the positive, not the negative. It sounds so trite, but a lot of people will pick out something to complain about rather than say, hey, this is great. It's not hard to find great stuff if you look, unquote.
That's a beautiful thing.
And then they asked her about eating for longevity, and the actress did not limit herself to kale or healthy foods. She said instead she opts for consuming things she loves, namely vodka and hot dogs, probably in that order.
That's you to a T. No wonder you look so good.
So it's half you and half me. Hey. It's like Betty White's like, you know, the love child of us, which is kind of weird because she's so old. You know, hey.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so we talk about technology
you love technology.
Pop culture thing of taking over the world and all that
taking
stuff.
Taking over the world.
Robots killing us and everything.
Yeah.
So have you heard of the Booster app?
The Booster app?
It is an app for gasoline.
Oh, the Booster app.
Yeah, it's basically Uber for gas.
Okay.
So basically, it's called Booster. It's only on the West Coast right now, but they have hopes to expand across the country, eventually making it out here to us. We'll get everything last, brother. By the time we get this, cars will be fine.
Hey,
we won't need it.
We get the sun first.
There you go. We're winning. But you order through the app, and a mobile gas station comes to you and fills up your car while you're at work or at home or whatever. And then you pay through the
app. That's
actually
pretty cool.
I was going to ask you. I thought you were going to be a detractor because usually you talk down to these movements.
Well,
but that's good, right? Because I hate going to the gas station.
Check it out. Boom. People ride a bus. When all people get on a bus, it creates less pollution because all these people are riding one thing.
Yeah.
You have to drive to get gas. If you don't have to drive to get gas, if one tank is bringing it to everyone, less people are driving, less pollution, better economically, and
less
also
gas
better,
you're using?
Yeah. Better ecologically. I'm so bad with words. Ecologically.
Does this?
I'm down with that.
This is a weird question, but you don't like going to the gas station, right?
I don't mind going.
Do
to
you
the
ever
gas station.
Think about that?
No, I've never thought.
I gotta go to the gas station. I hate now, when my low fuel light's on, and I'm like, because then it's like I have to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I actually enjoy.
Do you think standing up for 2 minutes while,
let me tell you,
while you squeeze the gas trigger?
Let me tell you,
is exertion.
Let me tell you,
I gotta hold this thing for 2 minutes. There's a little hook.
Let me ask you if this encapsulates my life here.
Yeah.
If my car's like on half tank and I get gas, I feel so accomplished. I'm like, I'm really getting ahead of this. You know what I mean? But if I wait till the low fuel light's on, it's like my car's running my life, brother.
See,
I have to do it
it's
now.
It's not that it's running
that
my
pisses
life.
Pisses me off.
Here's why it hurts me, because I'm so poor. Like, oh, I gotta scrounge up $10 to get gas.
You a pay at the pump guy? What are you?
Cash.
You go and pay cash on shit?
Yeah, because basically, if I have $7 in my pocket, guess how much gas I'm getting?
You have to go
$7.
You have to go in and pay in advance and then pump it?
Yeah, if you're gonna get paid.
Dude, that's a whole experience going through your gas, brother.
Then I get to talk.
You ever
to people?
Get like a honey bun when you're in there? Crackers, chips, or anything? Cheese, this one? All right.
Okay. You're right. Not $7 in gas, $6 in gas.
So look for the Booster app. If you're out there on the West Coast, some of our friends, Katie Ward and Chris from More Gooder Than, and
are Justin they using
from,
it? Are they talking?
Well, I'm
about
saying
it?
They're out there on the West Coast. I'm telling them to download it. Booster. Okay.
Booster.
Get your gas brought to you, brother.
Bring me gas.
I told you, if I can get to a point where I don't leave my fucking house, why do I need gas?
They could fill up your car and bring you a bean burrito. You get twice as much gas.
They should actually do that. Sheets on wheels, brother. Just bring me everything.
There you go.
All right, a couple more here in the pop culture world. So we've talked about Jeopardy before. You told me your daughter likes to watch Jeopardy.
Yeah, my daughter loves Jeopardy. we had the new Alexa thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you can play Jeopardy on that. It's really hard, though.
Yeah, we did a music trivia one the other night, too. It's pretty hard, too. Awesome. They play like clips of songs. I was murdering it, though.
I bet you were.
Yeah, I was killing it. So, I'm very proud of that. I was on the novice, easy version. But Jeopardy took a contestant's money away the other night. The clue was, you know, the answer was Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise, the song by Coolio.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah, man.
So that was
song.
that was the answer.
Dangerous Minds.
And it was a white gentleman that was answering. And he said Gangster's Paradise, not Gangsta.
They took it away for that.
So they took away his money for saying gangster instead of gangsta, proving that they truly are G's. Over there, Jeopardy.
Interesting. What do you think about that? Taken away from the ER, the A? Because,
I mean, gangsta is like kind of slang for gangster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was going to ask what you think. I thought it was a little messed up.
Basically, his pronunciation was wrong. He knew it.
No, his pronunciation was right, if you think about it.
Well, I mean, wrong.
Because the word is gangster. That's the word.
Gangster's Paradise.
Coolio's using a
but you have to really
slang
listen.
Version
you
of
have
it.
To really listen to get the difference. Gangster's Paradise, Gangsta's Paradise.
But they gave it to him and then they took it away. See? That's what I thought was messed up.
You know what? That's gangster. That's gangster.
They're true G's, brother. Yeah, man. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, I got one more thing. So, I'm fat. I eat too much. We know all that. Lucky Charms and Frosted Flakes are merging. It's coming soon, brother. It's actually all, again, on the West Coast. What is with these guys? They get everything first.
How excited are
so
you?
So, it will be on store shelves.
How much sugar can you get in your body
General Mills,
first thing in the morning?
General Mills Cereals is releasing it in January. It'll be on store shelves nationwide this month.
Limited edition?
No. I mean, I don't think
so. Is it basically just Frosted Flakes with marshmallows?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's Lucky Charms Frosted Flakes.
Man.
It's
so
fucking
so you
amazing.
You take this.
Do you like Frosted Flakes? It's basically
good.
A sugar flake, right?
I'm not going to eat it for breakfast.
It's basically a sugar and corn flake.
That's what it is.
It's a fucking bowl
Someone
of sugar.
Took corn flakes and said, you want to make this better? Sugar.
Have you ever finished a bowl of Frosted Flakes? It's just fucking sugar in the bottom of the bowl. It's
of
like
an
inch layer of sugar. Yeah. I love it.
Do you drink the milk afterwards? Make a little milkshake?
Oh, yeah. I do all that shit. And then Lucky Charms turns blue because all the marshmallows.
Yeah.
So now you just put them together. All right, that's going to be on store. Are you excited about that? I'm excited about that.
I don't eat the cereal for breakfast, man.
I got one for you. You like cereal, though, right?
I mean, cereal's good.
Okay, I hope you like cereal because
Honey Bunches of Oats, Raisin Bran.
Oh,
things
dude.
That, you know, a little bit of fiber in the morning.
Come
get
on,
you going.
Brother.
You know, you need to take care of yourself.
I have enough poop. I don't need
this. If you're going to make it to Betty White's age, well, never mind. Hot dogs and vodka. Eat
say,
all the Frosted Flakes you want.
Be careful what you say there. All right, so here's your loop, bro.
Okay. Oh, I love loops. Got it. All right. Fruit Loops? You know, Fruit Loops can merge with
Fruity
Pebbles.
Fruity good
Pebble
thing.
Loops. Pebble Loops.
What two cereals do you wish were mixed together into one box? You know, not doing it yourself. It's too much work.
Okay, that's hard
you
because,
can
you
mix
know,
two
I,
cereals
I'm
and buy
very
it in the same
segregated
box.
With my food. I like to have it one at a time. But if
Don't
I
do
was
that,
going
be
to...
Be woke in 2018.
If I, was going, now I love Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran is delicious. You know, what else do I love? I like Honey Nut Cheerios is pretty good.
Yep.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, if I'm going to be crazy, that's pretty good as well.
Yep.
I'm going to take... Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to do Frosted Flakes and Raisin Bran. Because you still have the flakes of Raisin Bran. But so you frost them, but you still have the raisins that killed them.
So it's like you have
frosted raisin bran.
It's like you have raisin bran, but the flakes are frosted.
Yeah, frosted bran.
So it's like sugar.
Frosted bran.
Sugar raisin.
Frosted raisin bran.
Sugar raisins.
Frosted raisin bran. So I'm going frosted raisin bran.
Mine aren't. I've actually done
this. They've probably done that before.
I've actually done this on many occasions.
Really? You do this?
Yeah. Well, because you know what I do? Again, this is a snapshot into my life.
You wait to the end of the box.
This is right before
I gotta get more cereal.
This is right before I order gas from the mobile thing. When I get down to like cereal where it's not enough for a full bowl, I'll just fucking make cereals because I'm like I'm not gonna because I want a full bowl, brother. I'm not gonna do a half bowl of cereal. That's ridiculous. So anyway,
that
you ready? Mine is
ridiculous.
My two are Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Apple Jacks.
Okay,
I love apple cinnamon, brother.
Ooh, ah.
I love apple cinnamon.
You just
so,
did it right there.
You know, ironically, Apple Jacks don't taste like apple though.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they are. But they're good. They're good, and they're probably killing me slowly. But I do that. It was Cinnamon Toast Crunch and mix them together. If I could get that one fucking box, brother, I'm there. Better than blueberry.
You wouldn't be there very long because you're dicey.
Let's get your final thought, Andy. I'm gonna cue you up a little. Why you gotta be so rude?
Oh.
One of my son's favorites. Give me your final thought.
I'm not gonna give you a final thought. Betty White's gonna give you a final thought. You know, a lot of people say, "What's the key to happiness?" Well, happiness is primarily perspective. Of course, good things and bad things, positive and negative things, are going to happen in your life, but it's the way that you look at them which makes them, quote, good. So look at your life from the positive perspective. Be grateful. Every day you're here, even if your day is crap, at least you're alive to experience that crap. So being alive is a gift in itself. You always have something to be grateful for. Look at life on the positive side.
Yeah, I feel that, brother. And I'm also going to do a final thought from Betty White. Vodka and hot dogs.
Vodka and hot dogs.
Get on it and sit on your couch and do the frosted flakes and do the whole thing, man. Hope you make it. If you make it till next week, we'll be here for episode 58.
Caleb, don't do that because we want to keep getting your money.
Stay around, Caleb, for a few more months, brother.
We appreciate that.
We do appreciate it. All the information in the show notes, guys. This has been Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 57.
57!
Andy, by the way, we're very proud and honored to be in the Blazing Caribou Network.
Man,
very excited about
these
that.
These reindeers are on fire.
First official episode with those guys. Thanks so much for having us over there at BCS. Andy, until next week, I'll see you soon, brother.
I'll see you soon.
I'm sure you'll be just as beautiful then as
you
are.
You think you'll
now.
Make it to next week?
I don't. I don't. But if I do, let's lay something down.
Sounds good.
All right, man. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.